Majority Platinum Trade Union AMCU is in wage negotiations with the major PGM producers, including Anglo-American Platinum, Impala Platinum and Sibanye-Stillwater. The trade union articulated in June that it's looking for a minimum salary for the lowest earning miner of 17,000 rand a month. They're also looking to solidify their benefits and want issues around mine health and safety improved. The mining companies are not offering what AMCU wants, and of course the union has referred to the massive earnings gains the companies have enjoyed of late. Well, to discuss the matter further, I'm joined on the line by Chris Jacobs. He's a director at OIM International. Thanks very much for joining us, Chris. It's been a while. How wide is the gulf between what AMCU wants and what the majors are offering?
Hi, Nampo, and thank you very much. The gap is quite wide, as you quite rightly said now, is that AMCU moved from the previous magical figure of 12,500 per annum to 17,000 rand per annum, specifically at your categories A and B level. So that's your lower level income levels in the mining industry. So what we see at this stage is obviously that the various different companies have come in with different offerings on the table. In essence, it means AMCU wants an annual increase for 3 years, because they are all talking about a three-year deal here. Of 1,500 rand per month, and the closest to that is Amplats with year one of 1,000 rand increase per month, and year two and three of 800 rand per month. So they're still very far apart at this stage.
When you look at the benefit side of what AMCU is looking at, it's very interesting indeed. For example, they're looking for a long service award compensation of 2,500 rand for every 5 years served. So, for example, if you've served 30 years on that anniversary, the union is looking for a worker to be paid a once-off fee of 30,000 rand. How successful do you think the union will be in that regard?
I doubt whether they're going to make any gains with that. It has been traditionally on the cards on AMCU's side, every time that there is wage negotiations, that they put that type of thing on the table. The logic for AMCU in that is that they proclaim that they want to put money into people's pockets now and not later on when they go on retirement. So that's why they keep on pushing that, and that's why it always comes back to the table every time that there is wage negotiations. I doubt whether there will be any real success in terms of that.
How realistic is their aim for annual leave to be increased from 40 days per annum, especially given the fact that mines do tend to close down on certain holidays?
Yeah, well, already what we have is that some of the mining houses would reason that already production-wise and productivity-wise, that there's too many of those periods where people have long leave, and that people can take extended leave, and that affects production very negatively. So from the side of the mining houses, they don't look favorably upon on extension in terms of leave. Because normally what happens is that days prior to that leave and days after those leave periods are very often also not very productive. So any extension in terms of that will just lead to further production losses for the mines. So again, I don't think that they are too willing to go into compromises in terms of that situation.
I guess it was little surprise that AMCU would refer to the great earnings that the companies have been reporting of late. But of course, they'll argue, that is, the companies will argue, that there's no guarantee that those results will be consistently the case over the next few years, and hence they would want to be cautious. But then, of course, the workers will be looking at what shareholders got.
Exactly, yes. So what you typically see here is that, and especially if you look at the old Lonmin, so let's call it the Sibanye Lonmin component.
Yes.
The offering on the table there is far less than compared to the other three situations, Amplats, Implats, and Sibanye Rustenburg operations. And what AMCU's reasoning is that already before the takeover, that Lonmin component has gone into a profit situation. From the mining company side, what they're saying is we cannot guarantee all of these good winds that are currently blowing, and we have to build up reserves because we need to build up reserves for a rainy day. The fact of the matter is also that normally in any wage negotiation, what you end up with becomes the platform for the next minimum when we come back to the wage negotiation table again. So again, what one will see is that from UMCO's side, raising hope that and raising the hope with their members, especially on the 16th again of August, they will use that as a symbolic thing to mobilise support for their wage demands, but saying that it can be afforded, and they will continue playing that game of affordability and great profits that has been made, where you will typically find that the mining houses will take a much more conservative approach and say, we cannot guarantee anything, anything can happen in the market, and then already we've committed us over a three-year period for high increases, which we cannot afford.
Mm. Of course, in negotiations, you know, posture is normal. But do you think, given what happened in the gold mining sector with the AMCU strike, which essentially failed, do you think that they may, they may be willing to come to an agreement sooner rather than later, given what happened in the gold sector, despite the fact that they are the majority union in the platinum sector?
Yeah, I think one needs to distinguish here. I think that in the case of Amplats, Implats and Sibanye, Rustenburg operations, we may see that they get to a conclusion in terms of wages. But in the case of Sibanye, Lonmin, that is not going to be acceptable to UMCU. And most probably we'll see a situation there where they will stand steadfast and they will not budge on anything in terms of that. So most probably we can see trouble coming to the fore in that regard.
Mm.
The gold lessons that has been learned, in the case of Sibanye Gold, in that case, UMCU did not come out rosy out of the situation. And as they say, it's much easier and much better, or it's easier to forget a war that you have won than a war that you have lost. So I think the negative lesson there could be that from UMCU's side is we are willing and we are prepared, especially in the case of Sibanye Lonmin, to take this further. What is different in this case now is that where UMCU was unsuccessful in terms of secondary or sympathy strikes in the gold industry, what we have here is a connection between, obviously, Sibanye Rustenburg operations and Sibanye Lonmin operations.
Yes.
So that may be a threat that UMCU will be holding out there and saying, you have to compromise with us, otherwise you're going to see it. Already, Joseph Matunjua said that Sibanye is provoking us into a strike. I don't read too much in terms of war stories, but he mentioned also we're up for war.
Hmm.
One must be careful not to read too much into that. But I believe that the battle on for UMCU's side is still not won.
Perhaps it's just part of the posture. Thanks very much, Chris, for your time.
Great.
That was Chris Jacobs. He's a director at OIM International.